So we started this series last year, which I've called Good News for Everyone. It's looking at the book of Luke and looking at some of the distinctive features of Luke's gospel, and realizing that, you know, Luke highlighted those things because, one, the Lord wanted them to, but also because those are things that speak to us today. Today I want to talk about responding to Christ's authority and power. Luke does a wonderful job highlighting the authority of Christ and the power that flowed in him and through him. But before I share, as I mentioned before, I'm going to invite Andrea to come up and share something from the scriptures that the Lord gave her. And then after Andrea is finished, I'm going to ask Mary to share that passage from Isaiah 22:22 also with the church. So
good morning, church. This morning I got up with this Psalm 46 really strong on my heart. And I was sharing it upstairs as we prayed this morning. I'm going to read some of it for us. It says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations rage, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. And then I'm reading that's not all of it, but in verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And I did just a cross reference with that in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11 and verse 17. And it says, the lofty looks of man shall be humble, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And verse 17 says almost the same thing. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, and the haughtiness of men shall be brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And I feel like the Lord is saying to us in this new year to be still, quiet our hearts, know who he is. There's a river, there's a flow, and he wants us to immerse ourselves in it. Not just wet our toes, but immerse ourselves in it. Know who he is and choose to follow hard after him. This is a year where he's inviting us to become intimate with him. This is a year where he's calling the body to come and to know him in deeper ways. We have a choice. Do we want to know him intimately? Do we want to immerse ourselves in intimacy with him and allow his presence to be the one, his presence to carry us? He's inviting us, friends. This is not the year to look back on what was. This is the year to choose to move with him when he's moving. Immerse ourselves in him and allow him to lead, guide, and direct us. Amen?
Amen.
This week I was feeling kind of like just stuck, stuff going on and stuff. And I said, so Lord, do you have a verse for me? And he said, Isaiah 22:22, which, I mean, it was almost 22 at that point, 2022. So, and Isaiah 22:22 says, the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulder. So he shall open and no one shall shut, and he shall shut and no one shall open. And I feel like that's for me, but I feel like it's for the body of Christ. Like, this is a year where God is going to teach us about authority and about going beyond our blockages, you know, and coming into really the power that God has for us in his authority.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father, pray you might continue to speak to us through your word, by your spirit. Lord, our hearts are open and we are ready to hear and to respond to your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, just to mention, since I'd forgotten earlier, one of the things we'll do is to have a little table up here for the time of prayer and fasting, where you can put the things you believe in God for, a picture perhaps representing a family member, a house perhaps representing some breakthrough in your family you're looking to God for, just some sort of place where you have, like an altar to the Lord, and where you have put something before the Lord and you believe in him for breakthrough. So we'll have a table set up over here so that you can do that throughout this time of prayer and fasting. And what that means is that as others come along, we can just see that picture, see that house, and just say amen to that prayer and join in with that prayer and believe God for those breakthroughs. It's interesting how this year has begun. You know, Friday was such a nice warm day. We almost forgot that we were in winter. And then almost like at midnight, everything changed. The cold came in. And the year changed. And I believe sometimes, you know, if we would listen to the Lord, we'll realize he's saying that he's, as the word came, he's bringing us into change. He's bringing us into new things. And as Mary shared about that scripture from Isaiah 22:22, talking about laying on our shoulders. First, we're supposed to be the shoulder of the Messiah, but then we are following in the footsteps of the Messiah. Laying on our shoulders that key of David, the keys of David, which represent authority. I think it's important for us to align ourselves with what God is saying and to appreciate that he's bringing us into a new level of authority, a new level of intimacy, a new level of understanding, new breakthroughs. And yes, there will be challenges, just as there were challenges to many of you getting here this morning. But by the grace of God and with his help, we're going to push through those challenges and experience the promises that he has given to us. And so as I share this morning, because when I was preparing this last week, I just felt like it was incomplete. And so as those words came this morning, during our time of prayer, I just felt that these are some things that God wanted to highlight. And so I will just share from some of the things I've put here in this outline, but not necessarily following it as I have it there, just trying to flow with what the Lord wants to put before us this morning. But one of the things that Luke does is to show the Messiah, and I'm going to change from this mic to my cordless, to my handless, hand-free. One of the things that Luke does is to show us the authority of Christ and Christ functioning with authority and with power. And then he shows that same authority and power follows through into the gospel, into the book of Acts, which was also written by Luke, that the apostles also flow with that authority and with the same power that Christ ministered with. And so I see some of what God wants us to do is to see that there's an increase that he's calling us to experience, an increase not for us to remain stagnant, not for us to remain at the same place, but for us to grow and lay hold of the additional things that God has for us. So first, looking at Jesus as the one who came as the Messiah, came as the anointed one. We just talked about that last week, the week before, 2 weeks ago, about the angelic manifestations that Luke highlights that we don't see anywhere else in any other gospel. The shepherds seeing the angels worshiping God and declaring the goodness of God, but also declaring that this child has been given the seat of David, has been given the throne of David, and of the increase of his kingdom there would be no end. And then we see Jesus functioning with a sense of knowing who he was from as early as age 12, younger than that perhaps, but his parents having gone to Jerusalem, they forgot him behind, but they searched for him 3 days and they found him in the temple. They found him not just sitting by himself, but interacting with the scribes and the Pharisees, asking questions and responding to their questions and listening. And they marveled, and Jesus' response to them was, "Why would you be looking for me all over the place? Don't you know I must be in my Father's house?" One translation says, "Don't you know I must be about my Father's business?" And so we see Christ having a sense of knowing God as his Father. His earthly stepfather was still there. When we read Luke's account, Mary and Joseph were still there. Joseph was still alive. But Christ was saying, "Don't you know, I have to be about my Father's business. I had to be in my Father's house." And so we see from age 12, Christ having this sense of destiny and purpose. And while it's important that we're talking about our youth today, that's really around the age when we start youth. And it's for our young people to realize then that you can function with a sense of purpose, a sense of call, a sense of destiny at a young age, as a preteen, as someone having encountered the Lord and walking with the Lord. And so I just want to throw that out to encourage us. Turn with me now to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. You know, the other gospel writers mention Jesus being baptized, and Luke does that, and we'll talk a little about that next time. But here Luke says, after his baptism, verse 1 of Luke 4, it says, "Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert." And one of the key things I want us to see here is that Luke is the only one who highlights Christ being full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of the Holy Spirit. And he highlights that for a reason, because after he was led into the wilderness and he was fasting for 40 days and 40 nights and he was being tempted by the devil and he was successful in overcoming those temptations, in verse 14 of Luke chapter 4, it says, "Jesus returned to Galilee, and now he returned in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the whole countryside." And so something happened during those days, during those 40 days. Some scholars think it's because he spent time in fasting. Some think it's because he was successful over the temptations. But whatever it was, Jesus was not only full of the Spirit, but he was now at a place where he was, the power of God was flowing in him and through him. You see, many times you and I, we end up being full of the Spirit. Maybe you get it at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we don't see the power. You know, we speak in tongues, yes, and we give a prophetic word here, but we don't see the power. And I believe God is calling us this year to press in for a release of his power in our lives, in us and through us. It's not enough just to be filled, but there should be something that flows from us that impacts the lives of others. And so Christ returned in the power of the Spirit. And he went into the synagogue, and we mentioned this a couple weeks back, and he took up the scroll. He was given the scroll from Isaiah, and he read this passage. Verse 18 says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He was aware of who he was aware of what was happening to him. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to do some stuff, to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And then it says that he rolled a scroll, gave it back to the attendant. And in verse 21, it says, he began by saying to them, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. In other words, Christ recognized that he was now anointed by God, and he was brazen and bold enough to come into the temple and to declare that I am anointed by God to set people free. I am anointed by God to open the eyes of the blind. I am anointed by God to preach the good news of the gospel to the poor. I am anointed by God. He didn't keep quiet. It wasn't some secret thing between him and the Father alone. But he recognized there was something about him, and he was about to fulfill his purpose and his call. He was about to fulfill scripture. I want to encourage us this year to recognize that you, me, we are anointed by God. We are anointed. But we are anointed to do some stuff, to set the captives free. We are anointed to open the eyes of the blind. We are anointed to share the good news of Jesus Christ. There is an anointing that is upon you and upon me. And it's time for us to step into these things. So later on in chapter 4, it says it goes down to Capernaum, verse 31, to a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath began to teach the people, and they were amazed because his message had authority. So the people started to recognize something about Christ, that he was functioning now with authority in how he spoke and how he ministered. And right there in the synagogue, verse 33, there was a man possessed by a demon, which is an evil spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Ha! What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." Then the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. And all the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching?" They recognize something. They say, with authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits and they come out. So even the people themselves started to discern and to recognize that Christ was now functioning with authority, but also with power. So much so, even the demons recognized who he was. That he was the Holy One of God. And they couldn't stay quiet. And as we shared that about some time back, that this particular man had more than one spirit, because the plural pronoun is used. The spirit says, "What do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us?" They understand their destiny. And they recognize him as the Holy One of God. The demons have knowledge. And they know that we get authority out of our relationship with God. And so when you and I draw closer to God, it brings us into a place where we can function with more authority and with more power. And this is part of the call. Might walk with him, to spend more time in his presence. Because as we do that, we are able to function with a greater level of authority and power. We're able to see the increase in our lives as we spend more time in his presence. He functioned with authority and with power. This is one of the things that the apostles highlighted in the book of Acts. When Peter went down to Cornelius, he says, we're talking about Jesus, whom the Holy Spirit, whom God anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power. In other words, they're recognizing that he was not just anointed, but that the power of God flowed through him. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And so this is part of the testimony that Peter declared to Cornelius and said, you are well aware of this fact, that he was anointed with the authority and with power. That's the same Jesus that you and I serve. To anoint, I put here in the notes, means to smear with oil, to set apart, to empower. And so something happened in the life of Christ where the Spirit of God came upon him and anointed him and set him apart and endued him with power from on high. The power that people needed to get healing, the power that they needed to get deliverance, the power that they needed to be set free from their captivity, from their addiction. Oh, help us, Lord. In Luke chapter 5, at the start of it, we see Christ coming by the shore of the lake. Peter and his friends have been fishing all night and they caught nothing. And Jesus comes and gets into the boat, which is Peter's boat, and tells him to push off from the shore because he was teaching and there was a large crowd there. And Jesus went out into the boat and he taught. And when he was finished, he then said to Peter, go out into the deep and cast your net. That's Luke chapter 5 and verse 4. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for your catch. And what I like about this story is that first Jesus took time to share, to minister to the people, to teach, and after that to reveal himself and to reveal things to Peter. Simon answered, Master, we worked hard all night, that's verse 5, and I haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. So Peter recognized that this man said something, and I worked all night, but since he has said so, I don't know what was his attitude. If he was like some of us, like, oh, well, here he goes again. I guess I might as well do it. But Peter wasn't obeying out of faith. He wasn't really expecting anything much. But since his rabbi says to do it, and he's perhaps telling him publicly, I don't want him to seem as if I'm trying to resist. So he went out. Verse 6, and when they'd done so, they caught a large number of fish. Such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Both boats start to sink. In other words, based upon the authoritative word of Christ, they obeyed. And I've shared here sometimes we don't have much faith. But he said it, you might as well do it. Based upon the authoritative word of Christ, Peter responded. And just to make sure that this wasn't some coincidence, if you look at how Luke has written it, he says they caught so much fish. I mean, Christ could have had them just catch a handful of fish. And people would say, well, that's just coincidence. You know, these things happen, a little school of fish just turn up on the scene. And people would dismiss it. But these guys are experienced fishermen. And I suspect through the years of fishing, they'd never caught so much fish. So much so that Peter's like called James and John, said, come and help. And when they came, their boat started to sink. In other words, it's a lot of fish. So heavy that both boats started to sink based upon the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He's functioning at a different level. He's functioning with authority. And when he speaks, things happen. Even the animals and fish and stuff respond to the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. And when Peter saw that, what was Peter's response? Peter felt his knees and said, depart from me because I'm a sinful man. Peter recognized that, no, this man, there's something holy and righteous about him. And there and then Peter fell down before the Messiah. And the Messiah went on to say that from henceforth, you'll not be catching fish, but you'll be catching men. And friends, what one of the things that Luke shows us is that there's a theme of repentance going throughout the book. That even the apostles, Peter there and his friends, James and John, that's a picture of showing that they themselves came to that place of repentance before they could follow Christ. But they also recognized him as the authoritative Son of God. They recognized him as the Messiah. When he speaks, God's will is accomplished. And many times, you and I, or at least I have to cry out, Lord, help thou my unbelief, but I'm still going to obey. I don't know what's going to happen, but if you said it, I'm still going to do it. Because he's a God of miracles. And it was this authority that was there with Christ that the centurion recognized when he sent elders from the Jews came to Christ in Luke chapter 5, right after that encounter with Peter. Saying his servant is sick. But he says, I am a man under authority. So I don't need for you to come to my house. I just recognize that you also are functioning with authority. All you need to do, Lord, is to say the word and my servant will be healed. You see, when we recognize the authority of Christ, it helps us be able to exercise just a little bit of faith that we have. I just need to hear the word. I just need to know that he has said it. And the way it is worded there when he says, I'm a man under authority, he's also declaring that I recognize that Christ is functioning under the authority of the Father. And that when he speaks because of the relationship with the Father, things occur. Next time we'll talk about that relationship. But many times in Luke's gospel, Luke's highlight the fact that Jesus would withdraw to lonely places to pray. That's Luke chapter 5 and verse 16. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Something happened in his relationship with the Father that allowed him to function with his level of authority that people recognized. Oh, help us. So in Luke chapter 5, verse 17 says, one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and the teachers of the law who had come from every village of the Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem, were sitting there, and it says that the power of the Lord was present for him to heal the sick. There was an anointing present for him to heal the sick. And one of the things that the people were able to do is to discern when the anointing was there for the sick to be healed. It's something that we, in the 21st century church, we lack that ability to discern when the anointing is present so we can just lay hold of the Lord. But here Luke is saying the anointing was present for him to heal the sick. Something was happening. And so this man who was paralyzed, his four friends brought him and couldn't get into Christ. And so they dug through the roof and let him down. And that man was healed and his sin forgiven because of the authority that there is and the power that was present with Christ. And somebody said, looking at that story, don't tell me that your friends are not important. This paralyzed man couldn't get there by himself, but it was his friends who took him there. So your friends can determine what you experience from God or what you miss. Your friends can discourage you by the things they say. Don't bother. Don't you see the place crowded? Why are you bothering him? Or we can say, no, we're going to find a way to get you there. We're going to keep praying for you. We're going to keep pressing through for you. So the friends that we keep can either encourage your faith or discourage your faith. Your friends matter. It's amazing how many times I'm encouraged by people around me, just by their zeal for the Lord, by their consistency, by their testimonies. But is there another scripture I want us to focus on in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19? I'm going to start at verse 17 of Luke chapter 6. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there. And a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem and from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him to be healed of their diseases, those troubled by evil spirits were cured. And verse 19 says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them. Luke is trying to show us something. And he's saying to reach up stage where the people are able to discern the anointing flowing and through him, the power of God being present to heal. And they weren't waiting for him now to touch them. They weren't waiting for him now to come and pray for them. They were reaching out and touching him. They were saying, no, the anointing is here. If I can just touch it, I will be healed. And what I'm saying, friends, is that there's a place that we need to reach as individuals and as a church where you just discern the anointing, and you don't need to wait for somebody to have an altar call. You don't need to wait for a word of knowledge. You just reach out and touch the Lord. Right. So if I ever sense the anointing, I have this headache. If I ever sense the anointing, I am going to lay hold of the Lord and get my healing. If I ever sense that the Lord is moving in some way, I'm going to lay hold of the Lord and get my breakthrough. I'm not going to wait. There's a certain determination in our own hearts and our own spirits. I just want to sense it. And I'm going to lay hold. I mean, the same thing happened in the book of Acts. The people were like, the anointing and power is there so much so, if I can just get under the shadow of Peter, I'm going to get healed. I'm not going to wait for Peter to come and touch me. I just want to get under the shadow because there is anointing there upon him flowing through him. I'm going to get healed. I'm going to get delivered. I'm going to get free. Friends, there's place for the increase, the pressing through, to not holding back. Modern day Christianity is too passive. And we say, well, you know, if the Lord wants to heal me, he can heal me right here. Right here in my sickbed. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to do anything. The Lord knows where I am. Yes, he does, but he's looking for you to reach out to him. So here we are in the book of Luke. We see the people reaching out to him, and we also see Christ going out and reaching people. He says he has come to seek and to save those who are lost. And he goes out of his way to reach people. And in Luke chapter 7, a woman just lost her son. And here's a funeral procession. And Christ goes out of his way to stop the funeral procession. This woman was a widow. That means her husband is dead. And now her only son, the male to help her, is dead. And Christ goes out of his way and stops this funeral. He doesn't do it for all the other funerals, but for some reason, he stopped this funeral and raises this woman's son from the dead. And when I read the gospel, it messes up my theology. I'm telling you the truth because I've been told that God is no respecter of persons, only respecter of faith. Well, this lady didn't have any faith. She wasn't expecting anything like that to happen, and Christ intervened. Hallelujah. Now, where there's faith, he'll always respond, but sometimes he responds when there's no faith too. Showing that he has authority over death. He was moved, the Bible says, with compassion and stopped the funeral and turned everything upside down. Are you kidding me? Stop putting God in some box. Take him outside the box and say, Lord, I believe you. If you did it one time, you will do it again. In Luke chapter 8, you have the story of the Gadarene or the Gerasenes demoniac. Man that they can't control is living amongst the tombs. And Jesus goes out of his way to find the man amongst the tombs to set him free. And what I'm saying to you and to me is that the Lord is looking to set us free. And he will go out of his way to bring freedom to us. It's for you and for me to respond and we sense that he's there. But he goes out of his way. And as part of the message in Luke, he has come to seek and to save. He has come to intervene. He says, it's a sick that needs a physician. And he goes out of his way to show people the power of God and to set people free. Because that's why he came. He's anointed to set the prisoners free. I'm just going to share a couple more things. I'm going to jump forward to the apostles in the book of Acts. Because I believe God wants us to have a mind and a heart that says, there is more. There is more. There's an increase that we can anticipate and go after. And so you all know the Lord had sent out the 70 in Luke chapter 10. And the 70 came back marveling that even the demons are subject to them. And Lord says, I've given you authority to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. No need to walk around with fear of the devil. We have been given authority over him. But later on, towards the end of the book, he says, but wait in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. And in Acts chapter 1, they received power from on high when they were filled. And so now they have the authority and they have the power and they're functioning. Many of you know, well, Acts chapter 3 actually, they're going into the temple, Peter and John, at the hour of prayer. And there at the beautiful gate, the man was crippled from birth, begging Peter and John, and Peter and John's response was, silver and gold we don't have. But such as we have, we give unto you. They had the authority and the power of Christ. And so they raised this man up from his crippled position, and he was healed. So they saw miracles. God used them in miracles. And this created problems for them. They were arrested. But the fact that there was a notable miracle, the Pharisees and scribes could not deny it. And so they flogged them and said, "We don't want you to preach anymore in the name of Christ." In Acts chapter 4, it goes on in verse 23, it says, "On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. And when they heard this," it says, "they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in it. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand against, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed." And so here they are affirming the fact that Christ was anointed by God, set apart by God, empowered by God, and that the leaders had conspired against them, against him. It says Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the Jews, everybody. They didn't go back to each other and to the company and complain and say, "Man, these people are so ungrateful." And no. They lifted their voices to the Father in prayer. Verse 29, it says, "Now, Lord, consider their threats. And this is the cry of your hearts. Enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness, and stretch out your hand to heal, and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." And so the apostles weren't satisfied. They didn't like, "Well, you know, we see a miracle here or there." They were like, no, "Lord, we need to see more miracles." That's the cry of their heart. They're like, "Lord, anoint us to speak with more boldness. But Lord, not just speak. People need to see more of your power be manifest." And so they said, "Lord, stretch out your hand to heal the sick. And Lord, let there be signs, miraculous signs and wonders being done in the name of Jesus Christ." In other words, they were asking for an increase. This is the apostles. And they're crying out saying, "Lord, let there be an increase of your power. Let there be an increase of miracles, of signs and wonders." And we have people in the church today trying to say these things have ceased, rather than crying out saying, "Lord, let there be an increase." People are still sick. People are still suffering. People are still under bondage to demonic spirits. Let there be an increase of your anointing and your power, that the lives of people are transformed. Amen. It doesn't matter how much you have seen or I have seen. Lord, let there be an increase. Verse 31, and I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. After they had prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. So the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost with a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and all sort of stuff happened. But here, there's more. There was such a move of God that there was a physical shaking of the place. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Verse 33 says, with great power, The apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and much grace was upon them. In the Greek, the word for great is mega, with mega power. In other words, there was an increase. God responded to the cry of the hearts of the apostles. But Peter, he just saw a man who was lame from birth, healed. I mean, what more can you want? There's more. There's more, friends. We're too complacent. We're too satisfied. There's more. Too many people around us are depressed. Too many people around us are caught in fear. Too many people around us are sick. And there needs to be a cry from the people of God saying, Lord, let there be a greater demonstration, a greater manifestation of your anointing, of your power and your authority in the earth and in your church. Friends, what we are living is not the standard that the apostles set, that the early church set. I have to let you know that the level we were at, that's not it. We're way below par. And the only one who can help us is the Lord. It's not like we can just, you know, think it through and reason it through and debate it through and argue it through. No, we need to cry out to the Lord saying, Lord, we need an increase. Lord, we need to see. So move us from this level to a new level, Lord. Lord, you said in that prophetic word from Isaiah 22 and verse 22 that you have placed the keys of David upon the church for 2022. Lord, let there be an increase in authority. Let there be an increase in power in the lives of your people, in your church. Lord, talk is cheap. Oh, we are looking for a greater manifestation of your presence. Lord, you said to be still and to know that you are God, and that there's a river that flows so the city of God, the people of God, can be refreshed. Lord, you said you are very present, not just in times of trouble, but Lord, in times of need, and there are so many needs around. Lord, may we, like the early Jews there in your time, be able to discern when your anointing is present and to lay hold of that and receive the breakthroughs we're looking for. It's a new year. And so it's time for us to believe God to take us to new levels. New levels of intimacy. New levels of anointing. New levels of the flow of the power of God. Paul says, my preaching was not in enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Let us stand. This is a year where we can start by recommitting ourselves to seeking the Lord, by recommitting ourselves to walk in intimacy with the Lord. That's where it starts. The devil knows where we stand in our relationship with the Lord. It starts right there, seeking the Lord, spending more time with Him. And so these altars are open. And I want to urge us to respond to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want more of you. Lord, I want to see a greater release of your anointing in my life. Lord, I'm tired of seeing people around me that are suffering. And all I can do is to say, the Lord knows what you're going through. Lord, help me to be able to say, such as I have, give I unto you. And to believe you for your miraculous intervention.
Kind of love I don't understand.
placed in the bulletin blessings and declaration for 2022. So I want to read and declare these blessings over us. Those of us who are here this morning, those who will watch this online, I declare 2022 to be a year of victory in every area of your life. Every hindrance is removed, every bondage broken. You are anointed by God with authority and power to share the good news of Christ, to open prison doors, to set captives free, to proclaim the time of God's favor. You shall pursue the enemy and take back what belongs to you. I release divine health to you. I release increase of God's favor into your life. As you lay hands on the sick, they shall be healed and delivered. Your loved ones, children, parents, etc., shall receive the Lord. My God will meet all your needs according to his riches in glory. I release joy, peace, and fresh anointing into your life. This is a year of growth and success. I decree and declare more of God's love, presence, and power into your life. May people be drawn to Christ because of you this year. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ on your behalf. I cut every curse and bondage from off your life. I destroy every satanic stronghold in your life. All fear and anxiety be gone. I bring every plan of the enemy against you to naught. I declare that every weapon formed against you shall not prosper. I silence every accusing tongue against you. You shall be the head and not the tail. Be above and not beneath. Always have to lend and not need to borrow. You are blessed when you leave home and blessed when you come home. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. May Christ be exalted in you in 2022 like he has never been before. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen and amen. Go in the grace of the Lord. You're dismissed.